Good morning. Welcome to service. Glad to have you all in the house of the Lord. We'll have some more probably joining us. I see some people out in the foyer. But would you just stand this morning as we go to the Lord in worship and in prayer, believing for a tremendous service. We've got one of our heroes in the faith, one of our missionaries here that's going to share with us today. And I know you're going to be challenged and encouraged. But before all that, let's begin this service by covering it in prayer. Amen? Amen. Lord, we come to you and we ask right now, Lord, your hand would be upon everything that happens in this place. Lord, we ask right now that what we would do here wouldn't just be some ceremony or tradition. God, it would be out of the abundance of the heart of your people wanting to celebrate you and to worship you and to honor you and to draw closer to you. And so we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord, that you are here to meet your people. And Lord, your people have come with an attitude of anticipation. Lord, we have opened up our hearts today to receive and to hear and to know what you have for us. Lord, just bless these next few moments as we worship you and as we hear from you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.
Well, like on that second verse, or third verse, actually, who brings our chaos back into order. Well, we have some chaos going on, don't we? And we are ready and excited that I believe God's going to bring it back into order because he's the only one that can. So we just praise you this morning, Father Lord. We thank you for all that you're going to do in this church and in our nation, and we just worship you.
You bought my
thank you for the wonder. The wonder. We just shout hallelujah today. We just praise and glorify you, Lord, because we love you, Lord. And no matter what situation, you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We worship and honor you, Lord, in all things. Whether it be on the mountain or in the valley, Lord, we praise your name, for you are worthy, and we adore and worship you.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake until I lay my head, I will see of the goodness.
Let's just take a minute and just praise him and thank him for that. Lord, I thank you that whenever I was in the darkest valley, that you were there with me, that you held my hand and you led me out. I will forever love you and adore you and worship you, Lord. I will always sing of your goodness, because even when I'm in the valley, I can see that you're there. And there is goodness, your presence and your spirit all around me. A hedge of protection that no matter what, I know you're going to touch me. You're going to lead me. You're going to guide me. You're going to show me a way. I just worship you, Lord. The Lamb who was slain.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Lord, today. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your mercy, your grace, and your help. Father, we lift up Debbie Rowland this morning. We pray that you touch her, continue to be with her through her treatment for cancer. We pray for Rodna Allman's family as her nanny passed away, her grandma. We just pray that you would be with her family as we celebrate her life next Saturday. Lord, we just pray that you just comfort this entire family. Thank you for her grandmother who loved you, Lord. Father, we pray for Tony Keller's friend whose son was in this terrible accident. We pray that you would just be with Trent. And we pray that you would comfort their family as his toddler son was killed in this wreck. We just pray that you would just comfort this family right now, the Bogus family. Minister to them right now and bring healing and comfort. We pray for Zach Kerbo, who's sick this morning, and we pray for his grandmother, who was taken to the emergency room and has since been admitted to the hospital with the possibility of a stroke. Just touch Zach and touch his grandmother today. Father God, be with Ruby Bustle, who's having surgery on Tuesday. We just lift her up to you. We pray that you minister to her. Lord, we know that Tony was supposed to have surgery tomorrow, and that's been postponed. We pray that that would get rescheduled, that you would just keep your hand upon him. Father God, just continue to touch and meet every need here today in this place. Lord, be with our nation. We pray for a revival. We thank you for what's happening on the college campuses around. We pray, Father God, that that would spread like wildfire to all across the U.S., even to right here in Noble, Oklahoma. God, just move by your Spirit. It's only what you can do, Father God. Help us to prepare the way. Just as John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, let us prepare the way for the power of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus to be so real in our community and in our city and in our country. God, just move in a mighty way. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a letter from Brian and Melissa Kane to the church family. Thank you for the outpouring of prayers and love during this difficult time in our lives. We see what you do for people. Your prayers are felt. We are very, very grateful for you all. Thank you with love, Brian and Melissa Kane and family. And so thank you, Brian, and continuing to pray for you and all that the Lord has brought you through with the death of your mother-in-law and your health. And so thank you, Brian. Amen. Why don't you take time to greet some people around you, two or three, and tell them you're glad to see them this morning and shake their hand. Thank you.
Well, did you greet a couple of people? Maybe more than a couple of people? We're going to do a social experiment one day. We're going to tell you to greet one person and see how many you really greet. Give you an inch and they take a mile. No, I'm glad. I'm glad that our church is friendly and glad that you're meeting friends. How many of you love coming to church because you get to see friends? Come on. All right. How many of you are coming to church just to see if that one guy is going to go to the altar? All right. Why are you all looking at me? That's the question. So we just want to say, if you're a first-time visitor here, welcome. Welcome to Noble Assembly of God. We hope that you feel so welcome today. And if you would do me a favor, if you didn't get a little visitor card on the way in, there's one in the seat back in front of you. If you fill that out, and then you'll place it in the offering bag that's going to come by in just a few minutes, that will help us just to know you came to visit, and we'll be able to say, hey, thanks for coming. And we hope that you are blessed today. You're blessed today. Got a few announcements for you this morning, and maybe some clarification, maybe answer a few questions so that you won't wonder. So tonight is the ladies' fellowship, and my wife Kelly is taking the ladies. They're going to Chili's, and she's assured me that she's going to eat some chips and salsa in my honor. And so I said, please do not skip the chips and salsa. How many of you guys love the chips and salsa at Chili's? Come on. How many of you are embarrassed when, like, your family gets the third basket? All right? All right, my people, me neither. I'm like, bring it on. Yeah, it's always crazy. They're like, would you like more chips? I'm like, is the Pope Catholic? Yes, I do. Yes, I do want more chips. So anyway, they're going to have a wonderful time. There's already like 22 or 23 ladies signed up. You might as well join. If you're a lady here, come and be a part of the fellowship and have a wonderful time tonight. They're going to leave here at 4:30 so they can be at Chili's at about 5 o'clock. If you live closer to that way, or if you just want to meet them there, just be there by 5, all right? And you do not have to ride the transportation. That's just for those who that would be a help. And so anyway, they're going to leave from here at 4:30 and be there at 5 o'clock. And then next Sunday, you can see in the bulletin that I'll be speaking, but I'll not only be preaching, but I'm also going to be sharing with you about an awesome opportunity. I'm not going to expound on it too much today, but it's called Care Portal, and it's a ministry to our foster care families in our neighborhoods and community here. And so I'll be sharing with that about that more next week. And so make sure you're here for that. It's super, super exciting. And also next week, we are headed to see the Jesus Revolution movie. Come on now. It is going to be awesome, awesome, awesome. If you have not gotten a ticket yet, the bad news is I have sold all 100 tickets, all 100. But the good news is there still are seats available, and I'll be able to help you so that you can still watch the movie with us, and I'll point you in the right direction. You can go right online there and purchase a ticket, pick your seat, and I'll kind of show you where our group is sitting, and love for you still to go, all right? So come find me afterwards if you need that information, and I'll help you. Love to have 120 people go to the movie this next Sunday night, and we're going to have a wonderful time. The last thing I want to share with you about is our prayer chain. Our prayer chain is a ministry basically where we just pray for the needs not only of our church but our community. If one of the people in our church has a need, they can call Glenna Balmer or text Glenna. Glenna heads this up, and then she will make sure that those that are a part of this prayer chain will know the need so that they can too also pray. How many of you know that in times of need, prayer is where it's at? Amen? Amen. God can do what man can't. And so we believe that God's a miracle working God. We believe that God heals people, delivers people, sets people free, and provides in ways that would be not in the natural, but in the supernatural. And so if you want to be a part of just simply praying for the needs of our church and our community, if you'd like to be a part of that, or if you already are, we're asking that you would sign up on the sign up in the back in the foyer. If you're on it right now, just put your name anyway, and so that Glenna will know that you'd like to continue to be a part of it. And if you're not a part of it but you'd like to, sign up over there. And then the last thing is you'll notice it says call or text. So you're going to pick which one of those you'd rather have. Some people like a call, and they want you, you know, they want somebody to call them and tell them. Some people like me, I it's better if you text me, because sometimes I'm busy, and so I will note that there, and I'll come back to it and be able to have something written that I can pray over. So it's your preference. You'll put that on the form, and we're hoping for at least 15 or 20 people that would be on the regular prayer chain praying for the daily needs of our church. Amen? Amen. We're asking the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen, amen. Want to tell you that we will receive a special offering for our missionary at the end of the service, but this is for our regular tithe and offering. And so, man, how many of you just feel blessed of the Lord? Amen? Amen. It has been a good week, a busy week, and I can't believe that November. Yeah, I'm in November. And that February is almost past, but let's embrace today. Amen? Lord, we thank you for the tithe. We thank you for the offering. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. And we ask right now that you would just multiply, Lord, that you would take what's given. Lord, give us the wisdom as we use the resources, and that, Lord, people would come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think at this time, Pastor Steve is coming. He was daydreaming.
I was thinking, okay, what's next? Thank you, Pastor Phil. Hey, we are glad to have Daniel Hazelrig with us. He is a missionary that we have supported now for several years. I don't exactly know how many, but several. Him and his wife, Janine, have been missionaries to Mexico for 10 years. They have two children, Stephen. That's a good name. It's a good name, Stephen. Stephen and Catherine, right. And so they are missionaries that we faithfully pray for and faithfully support every month to Mexico. And so help me welcome Daniel Hazelrig. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. Good morning. I just want to say I appreciate your pastor. I grew up in church. I grew up in Yukon over there. I came out of the Mustang Church. And about 15 years ago, I was driving over to Noble one day because I felt the call of God on my life. And one of the requirements is you have to meet with your presbyter. You know, I didn't grow up in ministry, didn't have family in ministry. And here I am pulling into some strange building that he holds the key to if I can get credentialed or not. And but, you know, I just appreciate his gentle spirit, and I love your pastor, and I appreciate him. And also, I appreciate his heart for missions. Not many churches have a missionary wall like y'all do out there. We thank you for your support and your prayers. We can't do what we do without you. As he said, this is my lovely family, Janine and Catherine and Stephen, my little mini-me. I think the last time I was here was about 10 years ago, and I was single at the time. If you have my old prayer card, my new one looks a lot better. It just keeps getting better and better, but we are stopping at two kids. Went to Mexico, flew down there to meet the people I was going to be working with, and she just happened to be a missionary down there already. She's from the big state of Montana, and just started talking after a while and got engaged, went to language school, and then got married and went to Mexico 3 months later. And we have been in Chiapas, Mexico, the southern tip of Mexico, for the last 8 years. In Mexico, we are teachers down in Mexico. You know, last time I was here, I think I probably mentioned I wanted to go up to some village where you didn't have to wear shoes the rest of your life. Those villages do exist. Got married, and now we take our shoes off in the house. Don't you love how marriage changes things? But we got to Mexico, and the first thing was asked is, we want you to teach. I don't have a teaching degree, didn't plan on teaching. My teachers have gray hair because of me. That's just how the story goes. God's got a funny sense of humor sometimes. But, you know, I also had to realize when I go to Mexico, the point of missions is not to make my name famous. You know, Mexicans can't say my last name anyway, so that takes care of that problem. I'm never going to be the Billy Graham of Mexico. I'm never going to preach to the multitudes. God put us in a place in Mexico where, you know, I'm tall for most Mexicans. Where we were was full of indigenous people, and the average male was about this tall on me. There are churches that literally call me El Gigante Pelón, the bald giant. I have been in people's houses where the cross supports for their roof was right here on me. So every meter, I was literally ducking just to walk through the house. So I can be intimidating. It's not my nature. I like to joke and have fun. But God put us in the classroom. Over the last 10 years, I've had the chance to teach classes of anywhere from three people to sometimes 25 people. And to be honest, in those moments when I'm teaching three and four students, I can sit there and have that pity party of, God, am I really where you've put me? You know, one of the things about our society, our culture now is social media. And even though I'm not a huge fan, it does help me to look back and I can start seeing the fruit of what we've been pouring into for the last 10 years. You know, missions is not about investing only in things you can see and touch. It's not about building tangible items. Missions is about planting seed that you may or may never see the fruit of that seed that you've produced. You know, God reminds me all the time that any fool can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only God can count the number of apples in a seed. You know, if you go to the next picture, this is one of the classes I had a chance to teach in the Bible school. It's a three-year program. And the students in that picture, the students in this picture, you've got Wilbur, Azucena, Habin, and Hugo. You know, I knew these students, and for 3 years got to teach them about Bible, about ministry, about just anything like that. And then after class, we would go eat tacos, the real spiritual moment of the time. But I can look back and I see where God has placed them today. If you go to the next slide. This is a church in Ococoso, Coahuila, Chiapas, Mexico. You got to speak in tongues to speak in Spanish sometimes. But in the far left up on the stage of that picture is Wilbur this morning. He's pastoring this church of about 75 people. I saw on Facebook about 2 weeks ago, he's actually just broke ground to build a new sanctuary. You know, Wilbur was a seed that I had the chance to work with. If you go to the next slide, this is Azucena. Azucena is the children's pastor at her local church. But not only that, she doesn't just teach children in her church. She starts going around to other churches in her area and teaches them how to do kids ministry as well. You know, as a father of little kids, I will tell you flat out, if your church doesn't have kids ministry, don't expect me to come. Because kids ministry is vital. Kids need to hear about Jesus just like we do. And they need to hear it on a level that they can understand. If you go to the next slide. This is Habin and his family. Habin, they just a bright young man. They had this heart to go plant a church in the eastern side of the capital of Chiapas, Tuxtla Gutierrez. This side of the city, there was not a single evangelical church. Not just an AG church, not a single evangelical church. If you look at statistics, they'll say that Mexico is a Christian nation, 90%+ Christian. Well, 90%+ of that is actually Catholicism. And I can tell you that Catholicism in Mexico is not Christianity. I can take you to churches in Chiapas this morning where they are performing chicken sacrifices and they're not breading it and frying it like we do for our potlucks. They believe in the spiritual power of that. I can take you to a church this morning where they've taken the names of all the saints off their statues and put the names of Mayan gods. I've been in one church in Mexico where there was a witch doctor literally at the front door performing ceremonial cleansings before people came in and offered their sacrifices. So when you read that Mexico is a Christian nation, that's what they're talking about. It said in Latin America, 5 out of every 6 people have never heard a true gospel presentation that Jesus is the only way to God. So they have faced opposition in this area of the city where they're at. There are houses all over Mexico that actually have plaques by their front door that say, we are Catholic, don't evangelize here, we don't want your faith. But God still told them to go and plant this church. If you go to the next slide, this was the first Sunday I had the chance to go visit them at this church. If you'll see, there was a cinder block wall in the back, a cinder block wall on one side. On the far left, that was the outhouse out there that didn't have running water at the time. Dirt and gravel floor, corrugated tin roof, but that's where they started. There was about 10, 15 people there that morning, and they really wanted to reach their community. So we had talked about doing a vacation Bible school with them. Again, kids ministry opens doors in Mexico. It draws crowds, it draws kids, it gets their curiosity, but then at the same time, the parents start coming, like, what are you doing with our kids? And oftentimes, parents hear about Jesus for the first time at vacation Bible schools as well. If you go to the next slide, this is one of the first days we did a vacation Bible school there. The lady teaching that class, she was another one of my students. Her name is Isela. I remember her coming to the Bible school, and I remember her turning in her first homework assignment, and it was plagiarized. I gave it back to her as a zero. And, you know, I try not to make my students cry, but it does happen every once in a while. And, you know, she was just crying. She says, I can't do it. I can't read. I can't write. I mean, education in Chiapas is poor, very poor. I gave it back to her. I'm like, you know, you can try. A couple days later, she came back to me and emailed me a paper. Horrible grammar, horrible spelling. I could barely get through it myself, but you know what? She tried. And over the next 3 years, I started seeing her learn about God, her learn about the Bible and ministry. And today, she's actually a pastor herself in another church. Again, that's a seed. If we go to the next slide, this is the last Sunday, the last Friday night of the VBS that we did. It's kind of hard to see, but on the bottom right of the picture, you'll see buckets there. It was pouring down rain. We had to extend the roof with a tarp. It was muddy as all get out, but people were still coming, still hearing about Jesus, and still accepting Jesus. But my favorite part about this church is it doesn't just stop with this event. If you go to the next slide, every Saturday they load up their little Ford Ranger and started taking their little sidewalk Sunday school to apartment complexes, to city parks. And in the bottom left there, they're actually holding a sidewalk Sunday school in the middle of the street. Talk about stopping traffic for Jesus. But that's planting seed. Again, we don't know what's going to come forth out of that seed. And one day we're going to get to heaven and there are going to be people there. Because you gave, because you sent. You know, it's not about me. It's about Jesus and that he can be glorified. If you go to the next slide, this is another school I had the chance to teach at in Mexico. This school is called CAMAD. It's the training center for Mexican Assemblies of God people who are actually going to be serving as missionaries to other parts of the world. You know, most of us realize that there are countries around the world that do not like us. They don't like our little blue passport. There are missionaries that go to sensitive countries. They can tell you stories about how hard it is. Well, a lot of times Latinos can actually blend in far better than we can. They can blend in with their skin tone. They can blend in with their culture. And many of these students are actually now serving as missionaries in sensitive places that would be very hard for me to get into. Another group of these students are now serving as missionaries among the indigenous people of Mexico. In Mexico, there's 68 officially recognized languages and about 350 dialects. And where we were in Chiapas, you had the Tzotziles, the Tzeltales, the Choles. Among those were the three principal groups, along with five smaller groups. And just to give you a clue how different it is, in Spanish, thank you is gracias, and Chol, it's wokashatwili. That is the extent of my Chol knowledge, so please don't ask me to share anything else. But they need to hear about Jesus. You know, a lot of people believe today that Jesus can come back at any moment. And I do believe in the imminent return of Christ, but imminent doesn't necessarily mean in any moment. It means soon coming. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24:14 that in this gospel will be proclaimed throughout the entire world as a testimony to all nations. That word nations means every people, tribe, and tongue. And then Jesus says, and then the end will happen. There are still people. There are still languages that have yet to hear the very name of Jesus Christ. And it's still our job to fulfill the Great Commission so that they can come. So that they can come and hear the name of Jesus Christ. So that one day soon that we can go and worship with them in heaven. This last week I was traveling with another missionary, a new missionary in my car. Him and his wife are just excited, getting ready to go for the first time. And on my phone I have... the last song we sang this morning, Revelation song, I have it recorded by 11 different languages. It's in Portuguese, Spanish, Japanese, Korean, French, Chinese, a few other languages. And I sit there and told him, like, this is heaven. One day we're going to be worshiping with all of these languages together. Worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm ready for that day. But we still have work to do. When we came back for itineration about 6 months ago, I was just praying about, God, what can I share this year? And he just really started putting on my heart to share what missions is and the missions call. You know, missions has kind of morphed into this big umbrella title that if a ministry isn't neatly in the men's, women's, kids, or youth, oh, it's missions. That's not what missions is. You see, missions is not simply sharing Christ with a neighbor or a coworker. That's evangelism. We a daily witness of our faith, and we all share that responsibility. Missions is purposely crossing the chasms of geography, culture, and or language to share Christ with those who have never heard. You know, I don't say that to put missionaries up on some pedestal. We are just as fallen as everybody else. You know, I was reading about when Jesus was introducing himself into ministry that today you've read this scripture fulfilled. And it was talking about in his hometown. And it was talking about the people of his hometown rejected him. Oftentimes, truth be told, the people who share Jesus here with your neighbors and colleagues have a harder job than we do. I'm not saying our job is easy. We have to learn language. And I can tell you, learning language when you're 30 is not easy. But we all have a responsibility to share Christ. It just the only difference is where we do it and what language we do it in. Missions is being intentional about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't accidentally love somebody to heaven. You know, Satan is perfectly content with us simply saying God loves you, because saying God loves you does not save somebody. Because the gospel is not God loves you. The gospel is we are sinners. And God sent his son to die for us. And if we profess him as Lord and Savior, then we can be saved. So it's not simply saying God loves you. It's intentionally telling people the whole gospel. Mission centers on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And missions focuses on making disciples. You know, growing up in church, if you would have asked me the Great Commission, I would have said, go and preach. That's not the Great Commission. It's go and make disciples. What is a disciple? The purpose of a disciple is to make more disciples. We can easily say that Jesus changed the world more than anyone else in the history of the world. He changed more lives, but truth be told, when we read the gospel accounts, Jesus truthfully changes the lives of about 120 people. Sure, multitudes followed him. Multitudes heard him preach. Multitudes came for a free meal occasionally. But when Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, those same multitudes were yelling, crucify him. But when Jesus told his followers, wait in Jerusalem, there was about 120 people that waited. Those are the people that Jesus changed. And those are the people that changed the world. We read about Peter when Jesus was arrested, he denied Jesus 3 times. 7 short weeks later, he was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, preached a sermon, and 3,000 people came to Jesus. It's about making those disciples. It's about not going and preaching, it's going and staying. Jesus didn't come and simply say, hey, you're my disciple and go and preach. No, he lived with them. He ate with them. He taught them for 3 years. Even at the end, some of them still didn't get it, but he still did it. That's what missions is. I grew up, I went on short-term mission trips. I love them. I see the value in them. But there's something different when you go and you don't have a return ticket. I can tell you the hard times that my family's been through. I can tell you the times that we've been through those times and the Mexicans saw us. But they also get to see how we respond to those hard times. Missions, it's about discipleship, not simply preaching. But another thing about missions is not simply a project. Missions is a process. Projects are meant to assist missionaries. They're meant to open doors for us to have opportunities to share the gospel. But unfortunately, we live in a time where many people, even people in the church, believe you can get to heaven without the name of Jesus. Missions is not about building a water well. Because if you build a water well, but you never tell somebody about Jesus, you're giving somebody a fresh cup of water straight to the gate of hell. A cup of water doesn't save, but a cup of water can open a door. It's not about building a school. Yeah, you can improve somebody's life on this earth, but are we focused on this temporal life or are we focused on the eternal life? Missions is not about how much money we can send. And let me clarify that money is vital for missions. We can't go without money, but we have to be wise in how we invest our money. There's actually a book that talks about when helping hurts. The American mentality is let's throw money at it. Money will fix all the problems. Money creates problems. So be wise in your giving. And missions is not something we do to make ourselves feel good. It's not the American mentality of, hey, let me take a selfie while I'm giving somebody a free meal. Jesus said, don't do your good deeds publicly, for you will lose your reward from your Father in heaven. You know, when it comes to missions, there are three vital things. Pray, give, and go. You know, I'll ask you this morning, I'll be in the back after service, and I'll give you a prayer card. Please take one of these and pray for me. You know, as a father, every morning I get a look at my daughter, Catherine, and my son, Stephen. And I stand here today asking you to pray for my kids. If I gain the whole world but I lose him, I've lost everything. And I said a little while ago, I'm going to share a little bit about the missions call, but I cannot share about the missions call without telling about the reality of what the missions call involves. The Bible says, count your cost. You know, I'm ready for the day we never have to hear the name COVID again or pandemic again, but truth be told, it happened. My daughter is 7 years old, and she's had 5 international moves. My son is 5, and he's had 4. My daughter's in second grade, and she's on her 4th school system. Pray for my kids. I don't want them to grow up hating God or hating the ministry because of the hard life they've had. And I'm doing everything I can as a father to show them God's love and his grace. But pray for him. Pray for my wife. She has to put up with me. Her hair was not gray when we got married. I would blame it on the kids, but she's known me longer. But more than that, I stand before you today asking you to pray for more missionaries, more workers. Matthew 9:37-38, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. You know, I was born into an Assemblies of God church. I went to Chickasha First Assembly of God when I was 2 weeks old. All this is all I've ever known. But how many of you know the Assemblies of God was not founded to be a denomination? We weren't founded to be a church. In 1914, 300 people gathered together in Hot Springs, Arkansas, shortly after the Pentecostal revival of the late 19th, early 20th century. And they formed this group of people for one sole purpose. They declared in the General Council of 1914, the city of Chicago, that we exist to see the greatest evangelism the world has ever seen. Since 1914, for the last 109 years, we have grown from 300 people to almost 70 million people worldwide. For the last 109 years, we have been sending missionaries to every known country in the world, even countries that the UN doesn't even recognize. It doesn't matter. See, the Great Commission does not depend on circumstances. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And his last command was, go and make disciples of all nations. It's easy to look at the world around us and see the trials, the troubles. We can turn on the news and see the issues of Russia and Ukraine. We can look, Middle East is always in the news. We can look at our retirement accounts. That's just depressing. Or we can respond in faith and simply say, God, you said go, so I will go. From the years 1930 to 1950, so you're talking to 20 years that just followed the stock market crash. You're talking about the Great Depression. You're talking about the Dust Bowl. You're talking about World War II. The number of missionaries increased over 250% those 20 years. And the number of giving, the amount of giving increased over 1,000% in those 20 years. In the early days of our history, if you go back and read the early Pentecostal evangels, the early the minutes from the general councils, you'll read stories about missionaries who literally packed their belongings in coffins because they didn't know if they would ever see this land again. Again, we weren't established to be a church. General Council in 1920, John Welch, one of the founding 300 members, declared, the General Council of the Assemblies of God was never meant to be an institution. It is just a missionary agency. That was recorded in the Pentecostal Evangel in 1920. As I said, we've been sending missionaries for the last 109 years. But we're also reaching a very critical point in our history. We're having this massive shift in our movement. I was talking with Pastor before service, and when I was commissioned as a missionary in 2011, we had almost 100 families serving as world missionaries out of here in Oklahoma. Last year's list, we had 53. He told me this morning, another couple that I know, they just retired. Two of those switched to U.S. missions. And U.S. missions is important, don't get me wrong. So now we're down to 50. And in the next 5 years, what we call a term in the missionary world, another 16 of those are due to retire. So you're talking a period of 15 years where we have literally lost two-thirds of our missionaries. I go back to Matthew, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Will you pray for more missionaries? Will you pray as a church? You know, every pastor and every missionary I know can take you back to the moment when God called them, when God spoke to them and said, I'm choosing you, I have a plan for your life. I was 17. It was a Monday night, February 2001. We had a worship service for our youth group in Mustang, and God spoke to me and said, you're going to be a missionary. And I spoke to God and said, no. God's got a funny sense of humor. About 4 months later, our church held an annual trip to Puebla, Mexico, and I did not give the trip a second thought, and the associate pastor at the time came up to me 2 weeks before the trip and said, hey, somebody just dropped out of our trip to Mexico, so I just put your name on a plane ticket. You know, as a 17-year-old, I didn't have a summer job, so I didn't have an excuse to get out of it. But it was that trip that God confirmed that he had a call on my life. But you know, I was reading in the book of Acts recently, Acts chapter 13. It's about the first missionary journey of Paul. And what really stood out to me was those first three verses. It said, among the prophets and the teachers of the church of Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. One day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. You know, back in the dark ages, under the Roman Catholic Church, when somebody was called into ministry, a priest would go up to somebody and said, you're going to be a monk, you will be a nun. How would you like it if Pastor Steve came up and said, you're going to be a nursery worker? I'm sure he would appreciate the ease. But that's not really the best way to be called into ministry. It can lead to resentment, not everything else. But yet on the flip side of several hundred years ago, we had people with the likes of William Carey, who's known as the father of modern missions, who had this crazy idea that God spoke to him directly, that God didn't speak through a church necessarily, but he spoke to him directly and said, go be a missionary. So people like William Carey and his contemporaries, they oftentimes would sell themselves into indentured servanthood just so they could go share about Jesus in another place. You know, I love Jesus, but selling myself into slavery, that would be a hard call. But they were so convinced that they did it. But stuff like that, I can tell you, leads to burnout if you don't have the support of a church. But when I read this passage of Scripture, it really stood out to me that the Holy Spirit did not just speak to Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit spoke to the entire church. Now, I'm not saying Pastor Steve should put random people's names on a plane ticket. If he does it, that's between him, you, and God. But in my case, I believe God was speaking to Pastor Ken that day to put my name on a plane ticket. I'm a little stubborn. I needed that extra push. I know some of you are probably just as stubborn as me. Ladies, don't hit your husbands. You know, I remember the night that I told my dad I was called into ministry. It was a year later. My father looked at me that night and said, that's not God's will for your life. You know, I can tell you, we've dedicated both of our kids to the Lord. And one day, it's coming faster than I realized, but one day my kids are going to be 18. And if my kids tell me God has a call in their life to somewhere in the middle of nowhere, it's going to be hard. As a church, are we willing to recognize God's call on individuals, even if it's your most dedicated volunteer? Even if it's your associate? He's trying to get rid of you. As parents, if our kids say God's called them, will we let go? We need new missionaries. Not just missionaries. Here in Oklahoma, a pastor can tell you as well, we have rural churches that have been without pastors for ages. We need more pastors. We simply need people that will stand him and say, here am I, send me. So yes, pray for my wife and my kids. Pray for us as we are embarking on a new journey in a new place in northern Mexico. Pray for your open doors, but pray for more missionaries. Because I'm looking forward to going to heaven, but the job is not done yet. Giving. I think I'm preaching to the choir when I tell you thank you for giving, that missionaries need your support. But just a little explanation of why giving is so vital for missionaries. When we go to Mexico and other countries, or many countries are very similar to this, we can't just show up in an airplane in Mexico, say, hey, we're here, I want to rent a house, I want to buy a car. We can't do that. To get a resident visa in Mexico, we literally have to have proof of income. We have to show the immigration we will not take a salary from any church or corporation in Mexico. So when you send money to Springfield, which is our headquarters, and that money goes into our account, Springfield in turn writes us our salary, and that's what we show to immigration. We print off a year's worth of bank statements when we go to immigration and say, this is our income. We are not going to be living off of your system. We are going to be investing into the Mexican society, the culture. So that's why missions giving is vital. So thank you. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for investing. It's not just so that we can go down and do projects here and there. We have to have that to survive there. So thank you for giving to missions. And finally, go. Has God ever spoken to you? Is he speaking to you right now? Maybe it's a still small voice. Maybe it was a taco and you think, hey, I could eat tacos the rest of my life. But has God ever spoken to you and told you to do something? Maybe I'm standing here, right now, to just remind you of that calling. Can I tell you something? If God calls you, he doesn't forget. I was 17 when God called me and I told him no, and I went on those trips. I went to Mexico for 9 years in a row. But truth be told, I had a comfortable job. I was driving a truck at the time, and I had tried to forget the call of God. Recession hit. My company laid off 10% of our workforce. I got called into an office on a Monday morning. And as I was driving away from that place, God just spoke to me and said, you didn't lose your job on accident. God remembered that call, even though I tried to forget it. Has God called you and have you tried to forget it? Because he's still calling. Maybe that first step is going on a short-term trip. Maybe that first step is fostering a kid. Maybe that first step is teaching a Sunday school class. I'll tell you, I'm an introvert. 10 years ago when I started this, this scared the living daylights out of me. But take that first step. If God called you, he will be with you every step of the way. What does a missionary look like? You know, there was a time when almost every missionary was a teacher. But that's getting fewer and fewer. In Mexico, we've got one couple here out of Oklahoma, the Hogans. They have a student center across the street from the university in their city. They open up this center so students can come in. They have access to internet and they can study and they can get coffee, but they also have Bible studies there. We've got one lady that does sidewalk Sunday schools on the streets of Guadalajara, Mexico every Saturday. We've got one couple that goes down, they just do construction and teach Royal Rangers. We've got a lady living, working with those living with alternative lifestyles and living with AIDS. We've got evangelists, we've got teachers, we've got pastors. Missions can be one of 100 different things, but it centers on the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't necessarily have to have a Bible school degree in theology. God can still use you. In closing, I've got a brief video just to show you what missions is all about just in Latin America. So thank you for praying. Thank you for giving. And my challenge to you, through those who have God has called, my challenge is to go. Thank you so much.
The Latin American Caribbean region is the home of vivacious cultures and vibrant natural beauty. Ancient churches and traditions stand at the center of LAC.
Amen. Thank you, Daniel, for coming today and being our guest. You're one of our heroes. We thank you for the job you do and the call that you finally surrendered to. Amen. That would be tough, though, you know, when you're got a job and all that, but the Lord calls you, and you know what? You're never going to be happy and fulfilled until you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, right? Amen. So we want to receive a love offering today for Daniel and Janine and Stephen and Catherine and their ministry. So if our ushers would prepare to come. I know that last name is kind of hard to spell, so just put on there Daniel on the offering envelope. You can don't make a check out to him. Just make it out to the church if that's what you're doing, and we will give him one check. But it's a thrilling thing to be a part of what God is doing around the world. It takes both, as he says. It takes people willing to go, and it takes people willing to send. And it has to be both. They can't go unless we have congregations like ours that send. And in a sense, in our sending, we're going. And so he's going in our place. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for the Hazel Riggs and for the calling you've placed on their heart. And I thank you that we get to partner with them so that they can go and fulfill the call on their lives. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would bless this offering today, bless both gift and giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team's going to come and do a final song while we're receiving the offering. Brother David, here you go.
When the best of me is barely breathing, when I'm not somebody I believe in, hold on to me. When I miss the light the night has stolen, when I'm slammed I have reached the end.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together in your house. We pray, God, that you would just speak to all of our hearts about our calling, whether it's to teach a class or to work in the nursery or to be a missionary or to simply walk across the street, speak to our neighbors and our co-workers about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us to be filled with your Spirit and do what you've called us to do. And we just thank you, God, and we just pray that you just be with us today. Bless this time together tomorrow and through the week, Father God. We just pray that you give us opportunities to be a witness for you and to represent you in our world. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.